I boast of anything I've ever seen or done. How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
This time we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Come here. Want to sit right here? Sit right there. You want to sit right here? How are you all doing this morning? How are you all? Okay, good. Somebody's doing good. I'm glad to hear that. I have to apologize. I forgot to bring the bag this morning. I was going to give it to you all. Next week, I'll have the bag here, and I'll give it to you, and we'll figure out who we want to have the bag next week. But today, do y'all know what tomorrow is? Do what we celebrate tomorrow? Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and tomorrow and this weekend, we celebrate all that Martin Luther King did to remind us and to inform us that we are all equal, that God has created us and he has formed us, and we are all the same, and we have far more similarities than we do differences. And I know that a lot of times we like to focus on differences. We want to focus on things that make somebody weird or strange or different, and that's just not okay, because God loves each and every one of us, and God has made us all beautiful, and he has made us the way that he wanted us to be made. Did you get to tell God how you wanted to be made? Me neither. He did it. He decided. He made the executive decision. And so that's the what we get to live and grow into. So I hope and pray that you all continue to just recognize God's love for everyone, his love for each and every one of you, and how he loves you just as much as he loves everyone else. All right? Next week I'll have the bag, and we'll figure out who gets that. But let's pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you that we have all been fearfully and wonderfully made by you. And we pray that you would remind us of your great love for each and every one of us every day. We pray that you would give us wisdom. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of these children, for the opportunity we have to teach them, and the opportunity we have to learn from them. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. How you doing? All right, you going to Children's Church. Oh, good. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Today is the first Sunday I'll be preaching on a favorite scripture passage that was given to me by one of you. And again, we're going to do that throughout the course of this year. I promise not to say whose favorite verse it is. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And I don't want to embarrass Todd Mansfield this morning at all, so I'm not going to say his name. No, but anyway, grateful for the opportunity to preach on this passage. And if you would, let us hear now the word of our Lord from Isaiah 43, verse 19. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Don't you recognize it? I'm making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and grace, for the hearing and the reading of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me this morning. May they be your words and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful and obedient to your call. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Look, God says, I'm doing a new thing. Isaiah's words here of God doing something new, I think if we're honest with ourselves, leaves us with some mixed emotions. All right? We want to be excited about the new things God is doing. But we also know very well, and we're even maybe a little paranoid, at the fact that God always does things the way he wants to, and he very rarely, if ever, plays by our rules. Does anyone have a list of rules that you would wish God would abide by? I'm glad at least one person's honest this morning. We have those rules, we have those ways that we want God to move and work, and he never does that. Or if he does, it's certainly God's grace that put us on the same page as God to begin with. On the one hand, we love new. There's something exciting about new. The shininess of it, the newness of it. There are endless possibilities with the new. Abby and I just got a new van. And it's shiny, and it's got fun buttons, and there's way more stuff than she needed. But it's new and it's exciting and the possibilities are endless, and I see us taking these long, wonderful road trips and it's glorious and it's wonderful, and then I remember that we've got two tiny children and the possibilities shrink back down. On the one hand, we love the new. On the other hand, new implies change. None of us like change because change always implies loss. There is always a sense of loss when change happens. Several years ago, in 2004, I was preparing to take my very first church, Kings Mountain United Methodist Church in Lincoln County, Kentucky. And in order to do that, I needed a car. And I got my first car, a little blue 2004 Suzuki Firenza. I named her Little Susie. She was wonderful. Fast forward about 10 years later, and I was driving home from a church event, and she started to smoke terribly. And we all know smoking's bad for you, and it's the same is true with cars. And we took her to the doctor, and it was not good. And so we ended up getting a new car, and in order to get that new car, we had to suffer loss. Abby was just as tore up about it as I was, that we had to put little Susie away and sell her off. Loss, change is difficult. We don't like it, most of the time. We're totally okay with it if it's our idea, though, right? If we look carefully here this morning, we can see that Isaiah is speaking about a new old, all right? Isaiah is attempting to get us to change our perspective on things. God isn't really doing anything new, but Isaiah is trying to help us change our perspective so we see how God has always been working in our midst. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he's not really doing anything new, but we're seeing it anew. We're seeing it differently. We're looking at it in a new way and in a new light. And that's what Isaiah is trying to point us to this morning. He's trying to help us change our perspective on life, on how things work. Now here in verse 19, it's very interesting, just the context of this passage, because we have God telling us through Isaiah really not to remember. This whole section, God is saying, don't remember. Don't look at things in the past. Kind of forget the past. He says right before this in verse 18, don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. And I know what you're thinking. If we forget the past, we're doomed to repeat it, right? That's what we're all thinking this morning. And Isaiah isn't telling us, neither is God telling us, that the old doesn't have any value. Rather, he wants us to remember properly. All throughout Scripture, we're told to remember. And it's very interesting that God continues to tell us that, because we very rarely remember things the way they really were. God is trying to tell us this morning to remember the past as it really was, and not as we perceived it to be. Now, there are three sides to every story, right? There's your side, there's my side, and there's the truth. And Isaiah is trying to help us know this morning that when we remember, as we think back, we need to think back and remember how things were and why they were, because God was doing something and continues to do something. Don't look back on things and think that God was unfair, right? We do that a lot. We look back and say, well, if things had been different, if circumstances had been different, basically what we're saying, if God had done a better job, then this wouldn't have happened or this would have happened. Don't think back. He's telling the Israelites here, don't think back and think that God was unfair when you were driven into exile. Don't be upset at God. You're remembering it wrong if you're mad at God. Remember instead that you turned from God and he simply gave you over to the consequences of your sin. And I would offer that to all of us this morning. Don't be angry at God for the circumstances you find yourself in, because he's simply given you over to the consequences of whatever decisions you have made, both good and bad. Remember what really happened. And when you do that, your perspective will begin to change. You will begin to see things anew. You will begin to see the new things, really the old things that God has been and continues to do. When God calls us to the new, when he says he is doing a new thing, he's giving us the opportunity to see things as he does. Because God sees things very clearly. God sees things without bias. God sees things without prejudice. God simply sees the reality of what is happening and what is taking place. God doesn't choose sides. He simply continues to speak and to see and to point us to the truth. And in the light of Jesus Christ, our reality changes because our perceptions begin to change. We see God as Savior and not perpetrator. How many of us here this morning, if we're honest with ourselves, we see God as Savior, but we see him as perpetrator far too often? We're the victims of God's cruel game because of how things have worked out. Come on, if we're honest with ourselves. How many of you thought that? Come on. Raise your hand, shake your head, do something. God is Savior, Redeemer, Restorer. He is the one that sets things right after we have messed them up. But see, we have to remember things as they actually were to recognize that we were the ones that messed it up to begin with. God desires to show us the new every day, the new ways he is bringing us out, the new ways he is redeeming us, the new ways he is restoring us. And God gets pretty creative when he does those types of things, doesn't he? And when we look back in hindsight, we can see how he has taken the old and made it new, or shown us more of who he is. But we will only see the new if we're willing to look past the old, if we're willing to look past our old view of things and see them as God does. God in this passage points Israel back to the wilderness. He points them back to the desert, two very dark times in their history, and he does so in order for them to move forward. God will show us the past and help us to remember it properly in order to get us moving in the right direction and going forward in the right way. And in verse 19, in Isaiah 43:19, he gives us indicators to help us know when God is doing something new in our midst. He doesn't just tell us that he's doing something new. He shows us the indicators for when this is taking place so that when we see it, we can give glory to God. We can praise God. We can recognize him in our midst. So the first indicator that he has before us is he makes a way where there is no way. He says he makes a path out of the wilderness, a road out of the desert. God makes a way where there is no way. God is always giving us a way out. In confirmation this morning, we talked about original sin, but we also talked about original grace and how with the sin that we are born into, we are also born with an escape route through God's grace in Jesus Christ. And we're given that opportunity to stay away from sin. You know, often when we talk about amazing grace, choir sung about it beautifully, we're sinners saved by grace. We often look at it from the end result, as grace is something that has saved us from something we have already done. But I want to offer us this morning that what's so amazing about grace is that it also keeps us from doing those wrong things to begin with. Anybody here ever made a bad decision? Okay, now, we're back on track. Okay. You saw the decisions before you. Here's the way God wants me to go. That's no fun. That's not as exciting. That's even a little tedious. And here's the other way. Oh, man, it's all downhill. It's like a big slide. So, of course, we're going to take that. But God gave us the out. That's what's amazing about grace. Is not only does it come around from behind and help us after we've done something, but it keeps us from going there to begin with. God makes a way where there is no way. He keeps us from sinning if we will allow him to do so. The second indicator here that God is doing something new is that he is doing it himself. I am doing a new thing. God, Yahweh, is doing a new thing. We are not alone. We are not by ourselves. We are not isolated in our bad choices or our bad decisions, because everyone here has done exactly that. How often have you done something and you've thought, I'm the worst person in the world? Nobody has ever done this before, and nobody will understand what I've been through or what I'm going through. And how arrogant must we think we be that we've created a new way to sin when they've all been laid out before us already? And we are not alone because God is there. There are other people who know exactly what you're going through, who have been there, who are headed there. And that's why we gather as a community, so that we might be reminded that we are not alone, but there are others, namely God and then the rest of us, who are ready and willing, hopefully, to come alongside and to help, to raise us up. God makes a way there where there is no way. He is doing it himself. He is with us. The third thing, which I find interesting, is that when God is doing something new, it's strangely familiar to us, isn't it? He says, don't you recognize it? He asks as if we should see it and know that it's God. And I find that interesting, because when God is doing something, it is strangely familiar yet hard to recognize. Let's consider for a second the disciples of Jesus. After he is resurrected, do they recognize him right off the bat? No. He's confused as a gardener. He's confused as just someone who has no idea what's going on. He's confused as a lot of different things, and we don't recognize him, yet there's something strangely familiar about him. And it's not his physical appearance that makes the disciples say, oh, that was Jesus. It's his characteristics. It's what he does. When he breaks the bread, their eyes were opened. When he shows the disciples the marks and the scars, oh. When he offers them grace by the lakeside in the form of a bonfire with some fish, that's when they recognize him and the things that he is doing. And there's a sense of familiarity. There's a sense of comfort in that presence. Not necessarily in the person or the physical aspect, but in the characteristic and what he does and how he does something new in our midst and reminds us of how old that really is, his great love for us. He makes a way where there is no way. He does it himself. It's strangely familiar, and then we see that it sprouts up. Now it sprouts up, indicating growth within us so that we might be set free in the newness of life in Jesus Christ. There is something that is sprouting up within us. It is God's love and grace working and being new in us. We have the green pyramids out today. Green represents growth. It represents that maturation process for us as Christians. It's not just a pretty color, but it has some meaning and some substance to it as well. And so we remember when we see this color green, we remember that when we gather together, we remember all of the old things that we were taught, how it continues to help us grow and to mature and to move on to perfection, as we are called to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Unfortunately, that's a process. We don't just flip a switch and become like God. We work on it. We work out our salvation in fear and trembling over our lifetimes. And so it's a constant grind. It's a constant working, and God is continuing to show us new things each and every day. And he's continuing to point us back to the old stories, to the old things we've been taught growing up. The new thing God is doing is the old story about how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me. He bought me. And we are made whole. There's something beautiful about the old, the tried and the true. There's something exciting and beautiful about the new. And when they come together, when they meet, when they collide, there is this just explosion of grace that takes over. And we are reminded of the great victory that we have in Jesus. Not a victory that we have won, but a victory that he has won on our behalf. And we get to be new members of that victory, new members of that family, new members of that movement. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love, which is old and new every single day. Lord, change our perspective so we might see you making old things new and making new things. Gracious Heavenly Father, we admit that we have indeed strayed from you. We have sought those things that thousands upon thousands before us have sought. We've been shown and seen and taught what happened, both good and bad. And Lord, we pray that we would consider how you are working in our lives. that we would consider your love and grace in Jesus Christ, and that we would consider what it might mean for us to be your children, your disciples, your followers. Lord, grant us grace this day and always. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.